Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. And wouldn't it be apropos? Obviously, I hope it doesn't happen. This is one of those weird nights where no matter what happens after this game, I got to call it down the line. And Stu wasn't with me because I've been on a weird game seven. I've been on during a weird Sunday night before, just a couple of years ago, when the Cavaliers came from a 3-1 deficit against the Golden State Warriors. Kevin Love played the best defense of his life. LeBron James had the best block of his life, and Kyrie Irving hit the shot of his life, and the Cavaliers won their first championship ever in franchise history and won Cleveland's first world's championship in 52 years. And we were on that night. And for a lot of folks out there, you understand that there is respect, but there's always going to be, if I hate them, there has to be a good amount of respect. But there's times where the fan hat must be worn, and there's times where the fan hat can't be worn. And tonight's going to be weird, because if the Cavaliers win, it'll be a great big, and then on to the finals to probably lose to Golden State or Houston. But at least I got back to the finals, and I think that's every single Cavaliers fan's goal out there. If they lose tonight, basically this is what it becomes. I take calls from Boston. Boston ridicules me, goes after Cleveland. Usually Boston people cut a promo on the rest of the league, and if they were to win tonight, they have every reason to. Because win or lose, and this is the beautiful thing that Boston has for them, win or lose tonight, and they're up by three in the third quarter. Cleveland usually goes to sleep in the third quarter. We're waiting for them to do so. So far, they haven't gone to Betty Buys. The thing about Boston is if they win tonight, you gain extremely valuable experience against Golden State or Houston, either one of those teams, and more than likely Golden State because of the Chris Paul injury, and we'll get to that coming up here in a second. But you get incredible experience with very young basketball players, and then going into next year, you get Kyrie Irving back, and you get Gordon Hayward back, and you're able to make a serious run at this thing. And you turn guys who are rookies, you turn guys who are two-year players, and guys who really you haven't expected much out of, and you turn those guys into hardened vets. What Terry Rozier is doing right now, you can't put a price on. To be a backup, to then be a guy who they rely on, to be a guy who helps them win games in the postseason at home, you can't put a price on that. And so no matter what, if they were to fall tonight, you've made it incredibly far with veterans going down. Guys, one guy who has a championship pedigree and has hit the greatest shot in a franchise's history and has come up big in a game seven in NBA history. So win or lose, it's still good for Boston, and it's still good for Boston's future. For the Cavaliers, it's a whole lot different. The speculation will begin right at 000. If LeBron were to stay or go, if the Cavaliers lose tonight, speculation begins on his future. It begins on Ty Lue's future and whether or not he would be retained or whether or not he would be leaving. What the Cavaliers do with that eighth overall pick, whether they draft and trade that player, whether or not they can really cut ties with players, get them to go away, and then bring in other veterans to make a run with LeBron, or whether or not LeBron decides to go to the most realistic places would be to stay in Cleveland, then either Los Angeles, and I keep saying Miami, and people keep disagreeing. Houston's a possibility, I understand, because of the friendships. Philadelphia, I don't think, is as realistic as people want it to be. Boston always seems like some wild outsider. I know Danny Ainge has pulled rabbits out of his hat. I don't see it happening. For obvious reasons, with the guy who just left the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, hey, let's be honest, his history in Boston, People have hated him. I know that people automatically can put their swords down when great players go there, go to their favorite cities and go to their favorite teams. But either way, it's a different type of atmosphere. So those are the realistic things if the Cleveland Cavaliers were to lose tonight. If Cleveland wins tonight, again, it's a relaxation. Usually there will be a time where we remember the type of game that LeBron James has had, because the reason the Cavaliers win games is because LeBron has an incredible game, and he has to do so where... I noticed this back on Friday night. I had to realize this on Friday night, and I've realized it before, but I had to put it into words. When the Cavaliers won at home on Friday night, and Boston was down by as many as 16 and kept clawing back and kept going, again, that's where that whole you're finding a young, great basketball team is, and why, again, you're playing with house money and doing things the right way. You have this moment where you realize, or at least you have to realize, in that game where he puts up 46, and he does have some help from George Hill, and he does have some help from J.R. Smith, and he does have some help from some other guys. But when he puts up that type of game, there's a realization that it's not just a special moment because it's a special moment. It's a special moment because he has to do it. We've turned exceptional play into a demand. And when we start to have these conversations about who's the greatest of all time, that conversation or that part of it needs to happen. Where it was demanded of LeBron, because there's no way you're going to win anything without him doing superhuman things. And at that point, it becomes less of an, oh my God, I can't believe he did it, and more of a, you have to do this, and if you don't do it, we're going to completely lambaste you if you don't. Because for his history and for his legacy, I understand that people look at his postseason. And I hope I'm wrong about this. I'll look at his postseason and see what he did against Indiana, Toronto, and obviously what he did in a seven-game series against the Boston Celtics. And say, wow, it's amazing. It's amazing they even got there. Kevin Love out of a game seven, so on and so forth, because I'm paying very close attention, and I know I'm in the bubble. For those who are outside, you lost to Boston with some rookies, some role players, and their two best players, their two franchise players, out of the season. Whether that's right or wrong, that continues to follow them. Just the same thing as I'm noticing over in the Western Conference. Because I'm going to say this, and I don't think I'm talking to actual Golden State fans. I think this is maybe towards inside basketball guy. For Golden State fans, I've told you, and I've tried to give you the pep talk last week, stop fighting to be underdogs. Stop fighting to have some sort of fake adversity foisted upon you that you can dive into and you could really draw power from and continue to put it out, because the quote-unquote haters with a Z want to go after you from time and again. But I don't see you making the excuses. It's weird. From week to week, I don't see you. From last week, I thought I had a bone to pick. The week before, I thought I had a bone to pick. And maybe there are some fans who are still doing that same thing. But I don't think I'm talking to you. I think I'm talking to inside basketball guy. I'm talking to the guys who are the analysts. And I know that they're really smart, and I know they know hoop, and I get that they can tell you about the short corner offense and a 2-3 zone and tell you about the four corners and tell you about how the game has changed, where we've gone from a run type of gun type of offense to really, really slow and methodical and pacing type of offense with big lumbering centers, and now what used to be called a tweener and a guy like Draymond Green is something we look forward to and we try to cultivate out of our own. And you've seen some deeper drafts over the last couple of years because of that style. But how it becomes an ISO game. And how Steve Kerr was upset because it's become an ISO game. And how Golden State still has the talent, no matter what they do, with Andre Iguodala on or off the floor, that should be able to beat teams in the West, certainly without Chris Paul, and certainly should be able to beat teams in the East. And I keep hearing about Andre Iguodala that he's the missing link. And I'm here to tell you that. And again, I don't think I'm talking to Warriors fans. I think I'm talking to the basketball insiders who are probably watching this game right now in the Eastern Conference, so they're probably not even going to hear it. So you know what? I'm going to end up having to do it again, because I cannot believe that we're in this pace of social media and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and so on, where you have so many people who are connected, where the truth will always come out, where there's somebody will be milkshake ducked at some point. The truth always finds its way out. And we're willing to tell each other, or at least us in the media are willing to tell you, that it's a reasonable excuse that no Andre Iguodala, who, yes, is a great defensive player, and yes, was a finals MVP when they didn't have Kevin Durant. When Andre Iguodala, who played alongside of four Olympians and four All-Stars and three combined MVPs, can obviously take them to another level. And yes, missing him does give you something there that you will miss, because it does change. The ISO changes. The defense changes. This I understand. But if you're to tell me, and I don't think, and this is what blows my mind and why I'm in such a frenetic pace at the beginning of this show, because I finally get to get it off my chest unabated, I don't think I'm hearing it from Warriors fans. I don't hear anybody in the Bay Area lining up that excuse. I hear it from the analysts that some way, somehow, this Golden State Warriors team, this juggernaut, this at 1.73-9 team that added to it with an MVP, has become the plucky upstarts. That they've become somehow the Loyola Chicago of the NBA. That they've all of a sudden become the Hoosiers without Jimmy Chitwood. And Steve Kerr all of a sudden becomes Norm Dale. Where did this happen? Because Andre Iguodala? The never franchise player? I don't want to sit here and besmirch the town of Andre Iguodala. The guy has talent. He's 34 years old. He's aged like a fine wine. And if he were healthy, yes, it would help Golden State. But again, if I were to give you anybody else out there who is from anywhere else part of the country, and also, you know what, I guarantee a Golden State fan would probably do the same thing. There's at least got to be one or two of you, right? That if I were to try to bring a sensible argument to tell you that Andre Iguodala is the missing link for a basketball team that has all the statistics and all the facts that I just riddled off for you, you're willing to tell me that that's a great come-from-behind Cinderella tale? That all of a sudden that this team, this juggernaut, this team that's supposed to be the team of the decade, one of the teams of all time that could possibly beat the 90s Bulls and the 60s Celtics and the Lakers and the 80s Lakers and all the great teams, all the great dynasties in NBA past, that Andre Iguodala, while talented, is the linchpin. How do you get the second sentence out after the first sentence, someone's laughing in your face? But here we were in some weird bizarro world where Houston was up by 17 after a great big win in Game 5 where they could have slammed the door shut, but some way, somehow, those outgunned, underperformed, outworked, perhaps out-hustled, that team, that group of just young, plucky, upstarts, underdogs, found a way to cobble it together and win to force a Game 7? To hell you say. Stu, hit it.
Andre Iguodala to me is a super reliable others. You know you can't win games. You know you can't win championships without the super reliable others. He's always making the right plays. He's always there defensively. You know, he can give, you know, Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson a break and saying, I'll guard the guy that's, you know, mainly on the ball. He's always there.
Well, he's important to them, so now they only have four All-Stars instead of five. So, yeah, that really, really put a crimp in their style.
He's a great player. He's one of our keys. We can't count on it. Injuries happen, and you just got to play with whoever's out there. And so we're hoping he's back.
Ball one-on-one with Curry. Left side foul on extended. Shot clock down to three, down to two. Paul has to force up a prayer, and he hits it. Beats the shot clock buzzer and knocks down his third three. Lawrence still on the dribble. Shot clock down to six. Crosses over Curry. Comes into the paint, goes to Gordon, catches, shoots a three, got it! Eric Gordon drills another big three! 121 to go in game five, he did it again! Now the Warriors have to work out of the backcourt, and they're out of timeouts, they have it, they go to Green, lost the ball! He lost it, picked up by Gordon, and Green fouled him! The guy runs his mouth more than anybody in the league with two huge mistakes late in this game. 98-94 Houston. 2.4 to go in game five. They go to Thompson, throws it up at the horn. No good, and it's over. The Houston Rockets have survived game five and are now Finals.
Curry fires away and hits another one.
He burned Green, and now he burned Gordon.
A 12-0 run for the Warriors. Draymond on the break, shovel back to Clay. It's a 27-footer. Good!
Their biggest lead of the night keeps getting bigger.
89-77. Klay Thompson says, I'm not going home. Not tonight. And the Warriors will be in a Game 7 on Monday night. And for the NBA, the first time since 1979 that both conference final series will go to 7. Zeros on the clock. The Warriors win 115-86. And the Western Conference Finals is all tied at 3 games apiece.
Such pure inspiration. Audio courtesy of both radio networks in Houston and in the Bay Area. Oh my goodness. Such inspiration. If you don't wake up and start a better you after the Golden State Warriors, who have been hurt with Andre Iguodala out, the player of the generation. You don't have a heart, dare I say, you don't have a soul. Steph Curry, undersized. Draymond Green, a second-round pick. Klay Thompson off the leavings. And Kevin Durant, not even appreciated in Oklahoma City. How dare they? These plucky upstarts, these guys who make the Hoosiers in Indiana with Normdale look like the Duke Blue Devils with Mike Krzyzewski. Dare you, how dare you say it? What a story of triumph. What a story of courage. The Golden State Warriors back to force a Game 7. However, will they get over Houston without Chris Paul? It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
Stu, I got to ask you, is there going to be something about Tom Brady later on in either fair or foul or sounding off?
I don't believe so, no.
Well, nothing? You can't squeeze anything in there about Tom Brady?
I can if you want me to.
Well, I might have to dust it off and get going here because I'm very upset about OTAs with the Patriots. I know, I'm just creating stories out of thin air, and that was back on Monday, and that's what I'll get accused of by Patriots fans. I got it. Just bear with me here, because I'm at the Church of Brady. I can't follow the diet, the TB12 diet, because it basically takes millions of dollars and a level of willpower that I could never, even if I had the millions of dollars, I could never do it. But I'm a little bit disenchanted. I'm a little bit upset with Tom Brady. So if I don't fit it in by the end of the show at some point here, Stu, you're just going to have to wedge it in there with either sounding off or fair or foul. Okay?
I think we could do that. We could do that.
Make sure you do so. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That, of course, is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. I got great news for you. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Got a loaded show tonight. Jermon Bushrod going to join us here in just a little bit. We'll talk about his charity as well as the NFL and everything going on around that, especially with the anthem. I will be talking anthem at midnight Eastern. Just a fair warning to everybody, because there is a difference. I understand free speech, but I have to say it, there is a difference, and this is not applauding the NFL. I know you heard my hands in the background. I'm just emphasizing the point. This is not to applaud the NFL. I think the NFL handled this horribly. I think the NFL made idiots out of themselves, lowered any sort of importance of their own product, and brought problems to their own product. And I'll get into that coming up at midnight Eastern, but there is a difference between free speech and commerce. And I will be getting to that later on. Also, BJ Armstrong going to join us, 3-time NBA champ, founder of Countermove Media. The guy's been making moves like crazy. I'm going to have to ask him who's better, Michael or LeBron. I'm sure he'll say Michael, but yeah, I got to put him on the record for something like that. You never know. And also at 1:20 a.m. Eastern, you have suffered for long enough, and you will get it. Peter Schwartz, good, strong hockey talk. The Memorial Day edition, 1:20 a.m. Eastern, and then at 1:40, our salute to our heroes that are no longer here, because the best way to say thank you to those we have lost is to be thankful for those who we still have. So we will be talking about Memorial Day right to end the show tonight. 855-212-4CBS. Yes, and again, when people say you're a Warriors hater, yeah, well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. When I take off the headphones and I'm watching the game, how can I help it? I grew up a sports fan. I know that people are supposed to call it right down the line when they do this, and I will try to do it tonight, and I will do it for Game 7. I think that Golden State's going to win it and probably win it in a pretty convincing fashion in Game 7. Without Chris Paul, I'd be shocked if Houston were able to pull it off. So there has to be – and again, we always misrepresent hate with a lack of respect. There is a respect there. The type of talent that they possess, the type of play that they play, how could you not, if you hate Golden State, how could you not respect them to some level? If I didn't respect them, I wouldn't even bring them up. I'd try to find a way to get around it. There's things that, and Stu knows this, there's things that people bring up, I go, nah, it's a non-starter, I'm not really hot about it, we'll talk about something else. If I don't care about it, I'm not going to talk about it. I care about what Golden State does, obviously. I certainly have skin in the game, considering where I'm from and the team I grew up rooting for. And when these mics go off, yeah, that goes right back to the way it was. I can't help myself. Because there still should be some love, and there still should be some fun of the sports that we cover. And I don't care where you're from, there still should be love of the teams that you grew up liking. And you grew up loving. And there, if you lose that aura, if you lose that fun, I think I lose something there. So I'll give respect, and I'm not even talking to any of the Warriors fans out there who might be listening about it, because I've already been loaded up with the tweets about it. Hater. Oh, that's garbage. Just another salty-ass Golden State hater. Same as always. At times, you're right. But in this instance, you're a good team. You have four All-Stars. Again, four Olympians, three MVPs combined. I really need to make excuses for you as a member of the media because Andre Iguodala isn't there. Andre Iguodala is a fine player. He is a finals MVP, deservedly so. He's been without the injury, he has aged so sensationally well, and they have helped him do that. He has aged so sensationally well that he has been a very nice piece to that basketball team and had been a catalyst. But if you look towards the future, look 20 years into the future, it's not all going to break up this year. But when I look at this and I see the performances that LeBron turns in, if they lose this game tonight in 8.5 minutes, what I say about LeBron and his run to the finals or his run to the Eastern Conference Finals in a Game 7 goes void to 98% of the country. Just like when I say, well, if you lose, and if you do lose to Houston, if I say that Andre Iguodala is the reason why, with those names, with those Hall of Famers that are there that are still on that basketball team, that goes void to 99% of the country. It's ridiculous. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, Jermon Bushrod.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
Back on CBS Sports Radio, Ken Carmen until 2 a.m. Eastern, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Obviously, Eastern Conference Finals going on. We're talking about Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, but football always just around the corner. And a guy with a couple of very special things going on here as we're just moving past some OTAs and going through the offseason. Jermon Bushrod, who is a Super Bowl champion and a two-time Pro Bowler with the New Orleans Saints, joins us right now on the show. The guard, 33 years old. Jermon, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be on, man. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. You're going to be 34 before the season starts. How you feeling physically?
You know, I mean, it's a grind. It's a daily grind, you know, but I'm feeling good. You know, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling blessed and fortunate to be able to be in this position. You know, still 12 years later, still trying to play football. So, you know, I never thought I'd be here, but at the end of the day, we're just going to continue to keep it going and see how things end up.
How much have things changed for you physically during off seasons, during the season, just to make sure that you're ready to go, because you've been in the league now a considerable amount of time?
Well, you know, I have to, you know, take a look at, you know, how I'm going to be better going into the year, things I need to switch up, my diet, my overall just plan going into the off season. You know, how am I going to take care of my body, and how am I going to feel, you know, at my best when I'm working out and things like that. So, you know, it's just a little bit more attention to detail. You know, it's not like the younger days after you get done with a season, whether it was a great season or a bad season, you know, team-wise, you know, you go and you have a little fun. I mean, I have a little fun, but look, I'm married with two kids, and you know, I really just have time to really just focus on family and my body come off season time and then figure out, you know, what the future holds for me.
Jermon Bushrod joining us on the show, has a couple of great things coming up here over the next couple of weeks. Has a youth football camp, also has a golf outing for the Visualize and Rise Foundation. This is your foundation. Tell me how this all came about, Jermon.
This foundation, it all came about after we won the Super Bowl in New Orleans after the 2009-2010 season. Visualize and Rise, that name came from a conversation I had with my offensive line coach, John Donatelli, in Towson. It was just a random conversation one day, and you know, it was my redshirt sophomore year. He told me, he said, look, man, what do you want to do? You know, he said, I got scouts coming in to look at other guys, but they're, you know, they have their eye on you. You know, you need to, if you want to take that step to the next level, you have to see yourself being a better leader on and off the football field. You know, you have to take some necessary steps. You have to visualize yourself being successful or being in a place that you want to be in. And when coming up with this foundation name, I literally thought back to that conversation, you know, visualize where you want to be. You know, you can visualize yourself, and the rise part is, you know, take those necessary steps to get there. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure in your profession, this is something that you've always wanted to do. You might have higher goals, but, you know, you took those necessary steps. So it's such a universal name. That's why that's why we love it so much. But, you know, we've been able to help out some not at risk, but underprivileged, underserved youth and families with scholarships. That's what our golf outing funds. And we've been able to have some assistance with some YMCA sponsorship type programs for working out and being able to, you know, have an impact around the holiday time, Christmas and Thanksgiving, around, you know, giving families in need gifts and food around the holidays. So we're just trying to make an impact. We're trying to help people in need whenever we can, and it's been quite a ride, and we're fighting to get better.
The golf outing, Friday, June 8th, Meadow Farms Golf Course, Locust Grove, Virginia, and then June 9th, is the youth football camp for 2018. Find the information at visualizeandrise.org. What's the state of the NFL right now, Jermon?
Well, you know, it's NFL is the NFL, but then, you know, it's some noise. You know, you have some noise you got to deal with, and some things that we have to deal with. And at the end of the day, it's about prioritizing our focus and really figuring out, you know, what's important. What's important for our individual, what's important for our team, and, you know, and just trying to make sure that the things you're passionate about or you feel some type of way about, you know, you have to find a way to, you know, to voice that, to help that. And it's a weird time, I guess you could say.
I'm going to tell you how I feel about the anthem stuff, and I want to know how you feel. I feel that it's been a long time where the NFL has kind of kicked the problem around, and it's made not even a problem, but the conversation around where they didn't want to have it. And now it's turned into this thing where instead of being something that we could really get behind and talk about, it's become a distraction. With you as a player, as a guy who's a veteran in this league, considering that the Players Association wasn't told about anything, we don't even know if they had a real vote among the owners. What do you feel about the anthem rules? How do some of the players that you've talked to feel about the anthem rules?
Well, you kind of hit it on the head when you were saying, like, you know, the NFL and the NFLPA, you know, we could have come together and really tried to make some kind of significant progress with some of the issues that we've talked to, or, you know, that are – that guys are upset about, you know, and I wish, sometimes I just wish people would really just sit back and realize that, you know, nobody is the whole anthem protest thing. It wasn't against the military. It wasn't against the flag. It was about injustice. You know what I'm saying? So it's frustrating that people in power don't understand that. But at the end of the day, what Kaepernick did, he made the ultimate sacrifice. You know, he probably won't ever play in this league again because he was passionate about this cause. But the NFL door has closed on him, and many other doors are going to open. But the thing is that the awareness is there. The programs are are opening up. Now people are talking about it. You know, you've done what the protests were supposed to do. It made people, you know, some people got uncomfortable, but you know what? That's what protests are, you know, and nobody was harmed in anything. This was a silent, peaceful protest at the end of the day. So as far as the NFLPA and NFL, you know, I wish, you know, we could all see eye to eye. Guys are going to have to continue to voice how they feel. And you have to look out for the team, you know, because at the end of the day, we are a unit. But that doesn't control the things that you can do yourself, you know, through foundations or trying to impact, you know, kids' lives in any way that we can. But, you know, it's we're in a frustrating time right now.
Jermon Bushrod joining us on the show. Find him on Twitter at J_Bushrod7475. Went to Towson University, has a great golf outing coming up on June 8th and the youth football camp on June 9th. People are making a big deal about Tom Brady not showing up to voluntary OTAs. For a quarterback, maybe it's different. For a guy who's been in, 12 years for you, how important are voluntary OTAs for you?
Well, you have to, for someone like me, it's crucial for me because, you know, I'm coming off an injury. So every single year, you know, well, you can come off back-to-back-to-back years and you're going through all season and you have no injuries and you're playing the way that you want to play and, you know, maybe you don't feel like, you know, maybe what you're trying to work on, you already know what's going on. But a guy like me in my situation, I'm going back to a team that I haven't been to in a while. You know, I need to be familiar with the faces. I need to get out there and I need to take the reps and I need to grind with the guys because I'm trying to build a bond, build a relationship with the guys. And I'm coming off of an injury that, you know, I haven't played since November. So, for me, I can't speak on other guys. When it comes to this kind of stuff, but I can speak on me and what I'm, you know, what I try to accomplish. I need to get out here. I need to get my feet wet a little bit. I do understand as OTAs, we want to go out there and do our job and, you know, not do anything stupid, you know, that's going to harm us going into, in the training camp, but, you know, you have to take positives out of it. And I understand why some guys want to, you know, have the extra rest. Cause you know, if you have a lot of miles on your tires, man, it gets a little hard. But, you know, these opportunities don't come that often. I'm a kid from King George, Virginia. I went to Towson, you know, I never thought I would be here and was still here. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to try to grind and get better and find my way to get through it.
How do you see the draft? How do you take in the draft with new players coming in? Because for us as fans, I want to share something with you. For us as fans, we get all excited about it. Obviously, it's a big business. And then I had a chance to watch a couple of drafts with some football players, and they see the draft a little bit differently, that it's competition coming in, and it's something it's something that a door opened where I had to walk through where I was no longer just Kenny the fan anymore. It was now, hey, there's – obviously that we want fans around it, but it's also it's a business, and you have to understand that this is competition for work.
I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, you know, just because you have a starting spot or, you know, you were able to be a key role player on the team, I mean, you see it every year. You know, you see guys who are special teams captains or who are starters, and they come in and they get beat out for a job or teams move in another direction. You know, it's always, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, are you getting the job done for the funds that are being paid, you know, being paid to you? If not, if somebody who's coming in can do the same job that you're doing for less money, you know, it's a business. How can I save a little dollar here? How can I save a little dollar there, but still get, you know, the same type of production? You have to look at it like that. It has to be sitting in the back of your head. But for me, it's definitely competition. When I was younger, you know, I can remember back, you know, I'm coming off of, you know, I started my first year in 2009 and then I got the starting job again in 2010 and I had a better year and I felt like things were going good. Next thing you know, the Saints drafted a left tackle in the second round. So I was in my feelings a little bit about it, but then, you know, after talking to the right people, you know, having, you know, leaning on my family and things like that and my agent and And I just went in and I changed my focus. I changed my focus and I figured out, hey, like, all I can do is better myself, worry about myself. I can't worry about what the next man is doing. And, you know, it's tough as it can be, you bring that player along with you. Because something one of my offensive line coaches told me a while ago, if that player is better than you, then they're going to be the one playing. And it's a hard reality, but then at the end of the day, it's something you got to keep your eyes on the prize. What's the main goal? The main goal is win games. If he's better than you, then he's going to get the opportunity. But it'll make you feel better about yourself if you're trying to help somebody along the way, even though they are competing for your job.
Jermon Bushrod joining us on the show. Tell us what's in the football camp coming up on Saturday, the 9th of June.
Well, we're going to have kids out there from all different ages, 6 to 14. For the younger kids, man, we're just going to have them getting out there active, man. We're going to get them hopping over bags and throwing the ball a little bit, catching the ball a little bit, and putting them through some drills. And then the older kids, we're going to see some competition. You know, we're going to make sure that these kids are doing the drills the correct way. And, it's going to be a lot of – I have some guys out there, some celebrity guests out there with me. So it's always a great opportunity to have those guys come back around because, you know, I'm from a small town in King George, Virginia. And it's something special when myself and a couple of my friends can come back and, you know, just lend a helping hand and, you know, hopefully just motivate one of these kids to go out and do something special, not just, you know, maybe not just a professional athlete, but just follow their dreams, chase their dreams.
Jermon, we thank you very much for the time. And again, the golf outing, you can find the information, visualizeandrise.org, Meadows Farms Golf Course in Locust Grove, Virginia. Then the very next day, Saturday, June 9th, the 2018 Youth Football Camp, free of charge, ages 6 to 14. Again, find all the information, visualizeandrise.org. Jermon, thank you very much for the time. Good luck in 2018, friend.
I appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
You too. Jermon Bushrod joining us on the show. I want to remind you of something, that tomorrow night at 9 Eastern, relive some of the best moments from the Founders Cup of Surfing. Now, I remember when I was a senior in high school, we went on senior trip in Myrtle Beach. And one time I got, well, I can't say I was necessarily under the influence because that's not condoning things of the underage. However, I had happened to have paddled out on my board a little bit further because, you know, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina is known for its vicious waves. And I had paddled out a little bit further, and it was the middle of the dark because alcohol and night swimming, those are things that should work out together. And all of a sudden I heard, Ken, where are you going? I went, oh my goodness, I'm out to sea. So don't do like me. Just watch the surfing as the world's best surfers take on Kelly Slater's legendary man-made wave. Catch the World Surf League on CBS Sports Network. When we come back, we'll have an Eastern Conference champion. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.